Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 18th of August 2016. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to Instagram and follow me at Willow Gerald Quinn. A busy night, busy program. Certainly a lot to talk about. Do a lot of ranting in this program. A lot of just, I don't want to call it whining, but I got a lot of complaining to do in this program because it's just, you know, it's one of those shows. I'm not going to whine. I'm going to do a lot of just screaming, yelling. And we begin with the first victim of my wrath, and that is Ryan Lochte and the three idiots who have taken the attention of what to me has been a very good and positive and watchable Olympics to now Olympics that frankly, you know, is marred by, you know, four guys who just couldn't stand the heat, couldn't deal with being accountable. And just did something just incredibly stupid with of course, Lochte being the ringleader. When this story came out, I was suspect about it. When the particular detail came out that Lochte had, you know, that Lochte said that he had a gun pointed at him and refused to get down with the rest of the swimmers as far as getting down on the ground. Brazil is a violent country, shootings, a number of things going on in Brazil. There were safety concerns going into these Olympics. That was one of the things that was talked about these particular Olympics and safety. And they had over, you know, 85,000 military people in place over the course of these particular Olympics. So that was already something that was going to be possibly an issue in Rio. So when you hear a guy says, "Hey, I'm not going to get down with a gun to his head," I start thinking, like, really? Like, you out of three out of four guys, you're the one who stood their ground and lived to tell about it. Because either you're lying or Lochte would call a bullet. It was going to be one or the other. There was no in between. Either he was going to get shot, or he was just flat out lying. He didn't get shot, so I thought that he was just flat out just lying. Okay. There are no individual victims in this whole situation, this fiasco. I feel bad for the country of Brazil, for the city of Rio, because. For Rio, because they deserve better than this. Coming into these Olympics, there were a number of concerns, whether it was the Zika virus, whether it was facilities, whether it was the 9,000 channels that it was going to be on, the tape delay, number of criticisms, you know, Justin Gatlin with the PEDs, just a number of negative things that were thrown at these particular Olympics. Ratings, but for the most part, again, up into this situation, I thought, you know, you have Usain Bolt, Biles, Michael Phelps. I mean, there have been a number of feel good and quality stories and high performing athletes that have really, to me, made these Olympics, you know, somewhat memorable. And I've certainly myself have watched way more about 50%. I spent 50% more than I thought I was going to watch at the beginning of these Olympics. Coming into these games, I had no interest, none, very little to none interest in these Olympics. So again, for Brazil to have to deal with this is really is unfortunate, because all Lochner had to do was just say, "Hey, we got drunk, we were stupid, we're embarrassed, we embarrassed ourselves, we embarrassed the country, we're sorry, I'm sorry." That's it. And this story would have been this would have been a non-issue. This would have been a 24-hour story. But to sit up here and just and basically, you know, take advantage of the reputation of Brazil's, you know, of the violence in Brazil, of some of the issues that Brazil has had in their country, and accusing the government, their government, or not their government, but, you know, accusing basically Brazilians of robbing you, putting a gun to your face. They, you know, when Lochner, along with, again, the other three swimmers, were the sole reason of why this happened, is as embarrassing as I've ever seen Olympic athlete. This is an embarrassing situation that I've ever seen, that was non-drug related. Again, not non-drug related. This is as embarrassing of a situation that you ever see. Now I don't want to hear about this idea that Lochner and the other swimmers are kids. Ryan Lochner's 32 years old. He's 32. And again, he was the ringleader for all this, for all this nonsense. The other three are in their early to mid 20s. I'm not giving them a pass, but they're much younger than him. And again, there are reports that come out that this is not the first time that this has happened with Lochner. So again, a black eye, unfortunately, for the Olympics. This will undoubtedly, unquestionably be the story, unfortunately, the story of the 2016 Olympiad, and frankly, they deserve, Rio Brazil deserved a lot, deserved much better. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Glad to be with you on this 18th of August. When we return, we'll talk USA basketball, and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 9 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Of course, neither one of the sprinters, any of the four sprinters have been indicted as of yet. There have been some reports that they have been indicted, but that is not the case. We'll still have to wait on that. They deserve to be indicted, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not thinking serious jail time as far as years, but they absolutely deserve to be indicted. Should have to spend, you know, a couple of months in let them spend 6 months in jail. Like, seriously, and get fined. I'm not asking for 4 or 5 years. Let them spend a couple of months in jail. They absolutely deserve to get a couple of months in jail, to be honest with you. I would not shed any, there would be no tears shed if they go to jail for a couple of months. I don't care if the place was a country club, to be honest with you. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Of course, tomorrow evening, the USA will try to advance to the gold medal round, basketball gold medal round in the men's basketball. They will be facing off against Spain possibly without Paul Gasol, hopefully he plays, because I mean it will not be competitive if he doesn't play. Gasol is averaging almost 18 points a game and has shot the lights out in these Olympics, shooting 56% from 3-point range and over 50% from the field. He's always been a tremendous international player throughout the course of his career. He's always played well against the United States, no matter how dominant some of their teams have been, whether it was 2012 and especially in 2008 when they almost, you know, when they almost beat the USA. Well, we came close, played them close, you know, lost by 11 points, but again, Gasol is a major part of the Spain's team, by far easily their best player. So hopefully he plays, but he could miss tomorrow night with a calf injury. A lot of criticism has gone towards the men's basketball because of how many close games they've played. It's hard, you know, people criticizing the configuration of the roster. You know, they're playing, you know, they're not, you know, not playing team ball. And to their credit, the teams come out and say, hey, we've had trust issues. We haven't been, you know, defensive intensity has not been up to par and it's been inconsistent. So they've owned it, you know, for the most part. Here's what I'll say. If you compare this team from a talent standpoint to the 2008 and 2012 teams, and I'm not even going beyond this. I'm talking about teams in the Jerry Colangelo, Mike Krzyzewski era. Of course, they don't compare to 96 or of course, the original Dream Team 92. It's not even going there. But in the Mike Krzyzewski, Jerry Colangelo era, since 2006, this is easily, by far, the worst team. They, you know, this team is missing about 10 All-Stars, okay? And not just All-Stars. We're talking about all NBA players, MVPs. I mean, you're talking about Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge, just to name a few. I mean, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Anthony Davis. I mean, it's a who's who's list of NBA royalty right now. So you don't lose that kind of talent and have 10 first-time Olympians and expect them to just roll over teams by 30 or 40 a game. It's just not going to happen. This team still has a lot of talent, still by far has the most talent, and still, without question to me, will still win the gold medal. But some of the criticism is just not fair. The team, and let's be honest, one of the major complaints Olympics started using NBA players in 1992 is the games aren't competitive. The teams are too good. They're blowing out everybody. That was a complaint. These games, 30, 40, 50 points, nobody wants to watch. So on, you know, complaint after complaint after complaint. Well, USA has had four of their six games have been close games and have been completely watchable. And I expect that as Gasol plays, that the next two games with Spain and more likely Australia will be close games as well. Again, you can't just throw a team together. And again, I'm not blaming Colangelo and Krzyzewski at all. These are the cards that they were dealt with all the injuries and withdrawals. But, you know, these international teams play together for a long time. They have a great continuity. They know each other. There's no question of – there's no such thing as trust issues or chemistry issues with these international teams. And the international game suits these other teams more better than it does the Americans. 40 minute games, the rules, the basketball, just the whole bit. But this idea that this USA team is not, we should be embarrassed by this team is just ridiculous. I mean, I've watched them; their performances have not been great. But they haven't been terrible. And again, you have to look at the big picture as far as how much talent is missing. You don't replace those 2008, 2012 teams were loaded. Loaded. I mean, we're talking about having Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, guys like that in their primes. In their primes. They had the very day, they had all the best players in their, basically in the prime of their careers for the most part. So, and I mean, there's no comparison with those two teams with this team as far as talent goes and continuity. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Sixteen minutes after the 9 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We have some exciting shows, some exciting programming coming up in the next couple of weeks. Of course, we all know the NFL season is going to be starting before you know it. September 8th will be here. Carolina, Denver, countdown to football has begun. So we're going to have an NFL preview coming up in a couple of weeks. But I would say probably the week of the probably after Labor Day, that first week in September, we'll do something on them in terms of that. Fantasy football, of course, is coming up. Some of you already have drafted. I would advise doing a draft before the preseason third week. You see a lot of guys get hurt. Excuse me, before preseason, the fourth week of preseason, the 5 weeks in preseason. Of course, that third game is where everybody plays. You know, a dress rehearsal for the majority of the of these teams. For all these teams, is their dress rehearsal in that third week. But I would not draft before that fourth week or before that third week. I've seen too many of these August injuries that can, you know, that will mess your season up if you draft the wrong guy. So keep your eyes on that. I'll be sending out information in regards to show times and program times as soon as I get them. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. Pittsburgh's James Harrison has decided that he will indeed allow the NFL to interview him, citing, of course, you know, that he was not going to sacrifice games for a suspension in terms of missing games. But again, Harrison, I'm with James Harrison on this in regards to, you know, the NFL right now is just flat out bullying these players. I mean, let's be honest. Harrison, Clay Matthews, Mike Neal, and Julius Peppers. I mentioned this a couple months ago, and I'll mention it again. None of these guys has any track record for PEDs or any other illegal drugs that would force them to have a suspension. These guys, again, I don't know why the NFL is doing this. Al Jazeera, again, is not the most credible. Again, off of an Al Jazeera report, I don't understand it. Again, this is why, and part of this, again, you know, Aaron Rodgers mentioned this earlier this week, you know, part of this, the players have to take part blame for this, for allowing Roger Goodell to have this type of power back in the 2011 collective bargaining agreement. The part of that is on the players. The other part, to me, is on the outright lack of leadership by the NFL Players Association. The NFL Players, again, this would not happen in Major League Baseball. It just wouldn't happen. And I don't think it would happen in the NBA as well. as powerful as the players are. And LeBron James and Chris Paul lead the Players Association right now. I just don't see it happening. I know it wouldn't happen in Major League Baseball. To this day, Major League Baseball is one of the most powerful unions in the world, and definitely out of the four major sports, easily most powerful out of the four major sports, out of the four unions in the four major sports, without question. The idea that you can interview guys and investigate guys off a report with no evidence, just off a report about alleged steroid use or alleged PEDs is a joke. And it's something that, it's something that should not be tolerated by the NFL Players Association. And if I'm any of those four players, again, that interview is not taking place without a lawyer. I'm sorry, I'm not doing an interview without a lawyer in the room. Now I don't know if they're gonna have that option, but I know that would be my last fight. You have to do an interview because you can't get suspended and miss games and only 16 games in the season. And the fines and what have you. So you can't take a suspension. But you also have to somewhat put up a fight. You have to battle until you can't battle anymore. And the last gun in the bullet would be, to me, having a lawyer present while that interview is taking place. Again, NFL, again, logically, the NFL as a whole is nothing but these owners and Roger Goodell are a bunch of bullies. That's what it comes down to. They're a bunch of bullies because they have that type of leverage to where these guys, the players union is weak, but even besides that, these guys can't afford to miss game checks. You got billionaires against millionaires, and I don't know about you, but I would bet my money on the billionaires. So again, we'll see what comes out of this. Peyton Manning, the NFL has cleared Peyton Manning. Manning, of course, did his interview a few months back, and really had nothing to gain from Peyton Manning anyways. Guy coming off a Super Bowl and he's retired, so that was a moot point to even do that. But to even interview Peyton Manning, really had NFL had nothing. There was nothing to be gained there for the NFL. They could not have did anything to Peyton Manning. Or he's not going to be retiring with a Super Bowl. And he's Peyton Manning. But again, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, and James Harrison will be interviewed. Mike Neal, who is by far and away the worst of those three players who have been NFL defense players in a year, has yet to commit to interviewing. I expect that to change very soon. I mean, Mike Neal, can't afford that. Mike Neal definitely doesn't have the money, and he can afford to miss some game checks. Solid player, but I expect his decision to be, I expect him to fall in line with the other three players. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Phil Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. Just awaiting Usain Bolt's 200-meter final. It's a wet track here, so it'll be. I don't expect any world records to fall in these conditions. And even before the rain, Bolt a couple of nights ago, it might have been last night. Monday. I think it might have been last night. Said that the track was a bad track. It was the track was not that a record likely would not fall. That running under a sub 19 seconds, was highly unlikely. The world record, of course, I think the world record is 19:16. He holds the Olympic record at 19:30. The world record is 19:16. So he's not gonna run a sub 19, but there's no question in my mind. I don't know how you feel about Usain Bolt in terms of how do we categorize where you would rank him as far as all-time great Olympians. But I'll say this: there's never been another track athlete like Usain Bolt. I think, Carl Lewis, Edwin Moses, Michael Johnson, Florence Griffin Jr., Jackie Joyner Kersee, Jesse Owens, whoever you want to mention, Usain Bolt to me stands heads and shoulders above everybody. There's never even been a question about him and any type of steroids. That's never been mentioned with him. And you're talking about he's on the cusp now of going three straight Olympics where he wins a gold medal in both the 100 and 200 meters. Think about that for a second. Not just back-to-back Olympics, which was hard enough. He's going to do three straight Olympics of dominating two different events. Not just winning, dominating two separate events. Again, Carl Lewis was a dominant sprinter. He was also was great in long jump. Carl Lewis is, one of the great Olympians of all time. I think prior to Usain Bolt, I would add Carl Lewis as the greatest track and field star of all time. But obviously, I didn't see Jesse Owens in my lifetime. But Usain Bolt, to me, has surpassed Lewis, Michael Johnson, and anybody else. Even if he doesn't win tonight, which I would be shocked if he didn't, he has surpassed any track and field athlete ever with his dominance and with his, again, this is eight years now. And these guys, especially at the 100 meter, 200 meters, it's not a sport of longevity they get into their mid 20s and around that second Olympics, guys just are not there anymore. Can't do it anymore. 100 meters or 200 meters. This guy has done it three straight Olympics over the course of 8 years. So I think, without question, he is the greatest track and field athlete of all time. I don't think it's even. At this point, I don't even think it's a debate, to be honest with you. I don't even think it's a debate. I'll keep you updated on that as it happens. 347-215-6180, the Olympics winding down. Closing ceremonies, of course, will be on Sunday. It'll be very interesting to see what the ratings will be for that. Ironically, I think that this whole Ryan Lochner thing could generate higher ratings for the closing ceremonies. Now, certainly, you would not, if you're Brazil, as a country, if you're Brazil or NBC, you would not certainly take that trade-off ratings for embarrassment. But I get the sense that that more people will watch the closing ceremonies indirectly because of what happened with Lockme and the other three swimmers. And it's, again, it's unfortunate, but that's you know, it's the world we live in, where we like stories like that, and we pay attention to stories like that as a boat that's coming up. And how about, speaking of Usain Bolt, how about what happened with Justin Gatlin in the 200-meter semifinal? You know, Justin Gatlin, who has been as criticized, and rightfully so, and under the gun as any track and field athlete in recent memory with the steroid use, and a lot of people didn't think he deserved to be in these Olympics because of him testing positive for a PED in the past. But, you know, if you're Justin Gatlin, you won a silver medal in the 100. You go out there in the 200 meters, and you can't even get to the finals because you're looking at what the other runners were doing before the race was over. I mean, Justin Gatlin, he's been in the track game, too long to do something that stupid. That's do something that dumb. That's something that, you know, a first-time Olympian, a guy who, you know, a college guy who doesn't know, you know, doesn't have the experience that Gatlin has. I mean, that was, you know, the guy, you know, Gatlin's looking at if he were Usain Bolt and everybody was trailing him by two lengths or something. I mean, he was nip and tuck with two other runners, and he's looking to see what they're doing. You know, Usain Bolt does it. He's miles ahead of these guys when he does it. He's doing it for fun. He's basically, it's somewhat taunting, and it almost cost him. You remember in the semifinal, the guy from Canada, the guy's name almost caught Bolt. Now Bolt had he had the victory. He had it well in hand, but again, these guys are world class athletes. It takes one slip up for somebody at that speed to catch you. You know, these are hundreds of a second. I mean, it does not take a lot to be caught when you do something like that, flailing the arms or a sudden or an unneeded movement. And that certainly was the case with Justin Gatlin. And again, Usain Bolt, you know, took a shot at him, basically saying, you know, he's too old, which was, you know, unnecessary shot. I mean, Bolt beats him every time they run. He beats him all the time. Like, man, you just got to throw salt in the wound here. The guy, you know, you beat the guy for the 10 billionth time in the gold medal in the 100-meter final, and now you're taking shots at the guy who couldn't even get to the 200-meter final. But again, Bolt about to run this 200-meter final. Again, his biggest competition will be to run at the guy from Canada who almost caught him. But again, I don't expect anybody to beat him. This guy, again, he's on another level as a track and field athlete. We've never seen anything like him. Maybe Ben Johnson on steroids. But again, that was Ben Johnson on steroids. Other than that, we haven't seen anything like the likes of Usain Bolt at 6'5", and again in his third and probably more likely his final Olympics. Again, so we're interested to see how the runners deal with this wet track. And it's not raining now, but you can tell the track, you know, it rained earlier, and the track is definitely slippery and definitely wet. So we'll see how they deal with that. Bolt, of course, as a major Jamaican contingent out there, as he, you know, tries to put the bow on a just historic and iconic track and field career. And then he, you know, and then again, this was last night when he's looking at the guy, looking back, smiling. Look how far he was ahead of the guy before he, you know, basically put it on cruise control. And it wasn't like everybody else was not even close to him before he just almost let the other runner beat him. But again, Andre DeGrasse from Canada. So we'll see how that transpires. One last thing on the Olympic men's basketball. One thing that has bothered me, I don't need to hear another non-NBA champion winning player talk about the importance of a gold medal, whether it's Carmelo or now the recently DeAndre Jordan. We understand that playing for your country is an honor. It's a rare privilege. Magic Johnson, broke down back in 1992 on the podium out of sheer joy. And we get a sense of what it means to these guys when they win a gold medal. I don't need to hear from guys who haven't won, again, guys who have not won NBA championships talking about the gold medal. If Magic, Michael, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, those guys want to pump up the gold medal, go ahead, go right ahead. Those guys have won MVPs, they've won championships, they've done everything. Especially DeAndre Jordan. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to hear about it. Carmelo kind of probably backtracked a little bit. But I understood Carmelo's even more from the standpoint of he's not going to win an NBA championship. And, people have been coming at him for not winning an NBA championship and really somewhat taking his career as a whole for granted. So I understand somewhat where Carmelo was coming from. DeAndre Jordan, I mean, give me a break, please. Don't sit up and say that a gold medal is more important than an NBA championship. First of all, you haven't won an NBA championship, so you don't know what the feeling, you don't know what it's like to be an NBA champion. Again, if you won an NBA championship and make that statement, then you can make that statement because you know what it's like to win an NBA championship. You know the feeling. You know what it took. You know everything that encompasses being an NBA champion. But again, if you're a non-NBA champion, I don't want to hear from you about the importance of a gold medal. Don't try to, again, you can say how important a gold medal is, but don't try to make the gold medal bigger than the NBA championship. That's my overall point. You want to talk about the importance of a gold medal as an honor and privilege to play for your country? Sure, go right ahead. Because it is an honor. It is a privilege to put on that USA uniform. No question about it. But an NBA championship, a gold medal is not an NBA championship. That's all there is to it. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. As we went to our little musical commercial, Usain Bolt did it again, 1979. Again, the race was not even close. It wasn't even close on a wet track. I thought, to be honest with you, I thought the track would have been dry, that he might have had an outside chance at either an Olympic record or a world record. I mean, he was in top speed. So far ahead of anybody else in the competition. It wasn't even close. The race wasn't. The race was over after the first, 50 meters. That race wasn't even close. My goodness. I mean, this guy, again, this dude is on another level. It is remarkable to watch this guy run. I hope he comes back in 2020. You want him to come back in 2020 because, 4 years, he'll be 4 years younger. I mean, 4 years older, but maybe somebody will be able to give him a decent race. Look at the difference between his the difference in times. He was 1978. The next guy behind him was 24. Was what 24.9? That's getting destroyed. That's not even close. It is remarkable. This dude, man. He really is just, again, one of the great Olympians of all time, without question. It's not even a discussion. The greatest track and field star in the history of the Olympics. It's not even a debate at this point. It's really not. Again, I want to see him come back in 2020. Just to see if somebody could actually beat him. So he pulls off the triple. Well, the double triple. You know, 100 meters, 200 meters, three straight Olympics. Again, if this is his swan song to his career, he will go down as one of the great Olympians of all time, without question, the greatest sprinter in the history of mankind. And that's just all there is to it. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joel Quinn Sports Podcast. As we discussed the world of sports and pop culture, I'm gonna spend a couple of minutes on Power, because I know it's about 5 days later, 4 days later, but again, probably the most impactful episode of the 3 years in the 3 years that the show has been on. Holly, of course, finally gets her comeuppance. A lot of people wanted her dead in season one, definitely season two. We knew that she was gonna go in season three, and she just the one thing about Holly and Sean, two starring characters that have been taken off, that have been killed off in the past two seasons. The common theme to both of them is neither one of them is about their life. Sean was stone stupid, and Holly was just not street smart. So those two, they both had to go. Yeah, they both had to go. It's gonna be interesting now, because you have a lot of characters on the show, on this show that are under the gun. Lobos, Mike, Angela, Louise, Greg, all those characters are under some pressure. So, this next episode, of course, you have Lobos. They're gonna try to. I guess Lobos is gonna try to escape. And I'm predicting the death of another major character in this episode. I think you're gonna see a number of deaths in this upcoming season. Here's a lot. Again, let's be honest. A lot of these storylines are running out. Whether it was Holly's, whether it's to me 50 Cent, Lobos. I mean, you can make a case of Greg or Mike. So they have, they're moving forward to now seasons four and five. Listen, the big four are not going to get touched. Whether it's Ghost, Tommy, Angela, and Tasha are going to be there till the end of the show is over. Those four, and I think that Courtney Kemp Agbo, the show's creator, has basically made that clear. If you listen to some of her interviews, the show is tailored around those four characters. They are the big four without question. But 50 Cent, Andre, any of these other characters can go this season. Lobo, Mike. Again, there are only four characters that are safe. Maybe 50 Cent. Maybe he's the fifth one, because he is the executive producer on the show. But again, looking forward to episode six this Sunday. Again, it should be another big episode. Twitter, Power in a Sunday where you had the Olympics, some NFL preseason football. It was Power that was the leading trend that was trending on Twitter. So it just shows you the popularity of the show. The show is at an all-time high in terms of popularity right now. I mean, it's just like they can do however many seasons they want to on just on popularity. Right now they're signed for five. They really stretch it out to six or seven if they want to. So it'll be very interesting to see how they navigate through the rest of this season as well as seasons four and five. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Joel Quinn Sports Podcast. Thanks for joining me. I will see you next time. Have a great rest of the week.